Greetings, everyone. This is Daniel Paris with the first in a series of special podcasts, which I'm calling A Guide to Sleep at Night Investing in an Uncertain World. It is part of the broader Keep Calm and Carry On Investing umbrella. This specific narrative is designed to help an increasingly endangered species of investors, those who want a cash-based, as opposed to just price-based, relationship with their stock market investments, or to call them out directly, dividend investors. My goal is to help those individuals, essentially you, if you're listening in, to sleep better at night, safe in the knowledge that you are making the right investment decisions for yourself. The method employed here will be to clear away the clutter of the financial media. Noise from that corner can be deafening at times, and it is almost always confusing. Do this, do that, invest this way, invest that way. Go for growth, only buy passive. Find the next hot stock, etc. That torrent of advice can be overwhelming, even for the most sensible, level-headed investors. It is not only largely unnecessary, but it's often harmful, because that noise distracts you from the key concepts that you should be focused on. Toward that end, this series will attempt to empower those cash-seeking investors with the straightforward intellectual tools you need to comfortably navigate the obstacle course of the financial media and the stock market itself. For other investors not in the self-selecting dividend group, the goal of this series is even more important. It is to help all stock market participants realize that their investment goals are a choice, not an inevitability. As a stock market practitioner for the past two decades, I regularly encounter investors, including sophisticated ones, the so-called smart money, who assume that there is a single goal, beating the market, and a single secret formula for doing it. The search for this investing truth is, I will argue, a form of folly, at least in the way that most investors pursue it. There is no absolute, unique solution to the investment puzzle and no silver bullet way of solving it. Indeed, the search for the perfect answer, when one does not exist, is often a waste of time, energy, and your capital. The academics call it the efficient frontier or alpha. Those are great names, and we will let the academics focus on them. They have the time and the inclination, and they relish complexity rather than clarity. Rather than chasing investment rainbows, because you are told to chase investment rainbows to find the singular pot of gold at the end of them, you need to focus on what works for you, what achieves your personal investment goals, and it is worth repeating, what allows you to sleep at night. This realization, the difference between a purported truth and a very personal clarity, has profound implications for all investors. I'll elaborate on that in an early episode. Let's cover what this series is not. It is not a guide to fame and fortune. There will be no stock tips, no get-rich schemes, no surefire strategies to beat the market. Instead, it is a guide on how to think calmly about certain types of stock market investments. And by the way, there's nothing for sale here. I'm not selling any products. I have a day job that utterly precludes me from selling investment products on the internet or giving specific detailed investment advice in this format. So consider this instead to be like a public service announcement on PBS for a besieged investment minority, the long-suffering widows and orphans dividend investor. I had the pleasure of watching Louis Rukeyser's Wall Street Week on PBS when I was much younger. I would like to consider this a small payback for his contributions to the art of clarity and common sense. They are what make for successful sleep at night investing, not complexity and day trading. So why this podcast now? Everyone is launching a podcast. There are 325 million people in this country, and it seems as if every single one of them has or is planning a podcast, including many on personal finance and investing. I'm heading in a slightly different direction. Think of this less as a typical podcast and more as an audiobook that is being released before the hard copy. In the age of social media, it may make sense to reverse the order of book production. First have the online version, then the bound version for the bookshelf and the library. Some of you will know that I've already written several books on investing over the past 10 years. So why another effort? Well, there are a couple of reasons. First, post-COVID-19, we appear to be in a radically changed investment environment. On a recent day, August 13th, 2020 to be precise, a mosaic of the financial news offered the following. First, a stylish electronic vehicle stock rose 13% on the day of a 5-to-1 split press release. That's a classic omen, no less so given that the stock in question was up 270% year-to-date already. On the same day, the Financial Times had an opinion piece highlighting how gold is being sought simultaneously by those afraid of deflation. They see it as a hedge against current negative real rates, and by those afraid of inflation coming from the government printing presses. It is an unusual situation, to say the least. And finally, according to an article on Bloomberg the same day about the, quote, relentless, end quote, rally in junk, a BB+ credit raised 10-year money at 2.875%. Bravo. Ultra-low yields, negative real rates, and the government printing presses are working their magic. As I speak, the market is at or near all-time highs, and with extreme valuations in certain sectors of the market, despite ample evidence of risk and weak economic activity levels. The fact that the market is so strong and the economy rather weak invites a renewed investigation of investment basics. The second reason I'm writing a new book is that the cash-based investing style that I advocate for here is out of favor. Very, very out of favor. It's so out of favor, some are suggesting it's gone for good. And at various times in the past, dividend investing has been declared dead. This seems to be one of those times. But as Mark Twain might respond, the reports of my demise are greatly exaggerated. And for the reasons that will be made clear in the early episodes, sober business investing can never go out of fashion. And for those of you who may not care a great deal about dividend investing, but are sensitive to changes in investment styles, you should be aware that the best time to get into a particular style is not when it is in favor, but when it is out of favor. And an even better time to do it is when the style is really, really out of favor. And that's where we are presently. The third reason I'm writing this book is that post-COVID-19, many commentators are suggesting that the old has been shuffled out and that we are in a time of new paradigms. Perhaps. But I will argue that for all the hoopla and excitement that we're currently experiencing, the clear-headed business investor needs to stick to the basics. The COVID-19 crisis presents an opportunity to review and refresh the basics of investing, not fundamentally change them. The virtues of clarity do not change as a result of a crisis. While I flatter myself to think that the arguments made here might one day be considered timeless, the podcasts themselves will be limited to about 15 to 20 minutes each and come every few weeks or so. In addition to the audio chapters, I will have occasional guests chime in on topics of their investing expertise. The interviews with Jim Garland and Jeff Kosnett have already been released. By the end of this exercise, you will have listened to the equivalent of a full audiobook on dividend investing circa 2020-2021. During the process, please feel free to send in your comments, questions, constructive observations to the email address on my website or reach out via Twitter or LinkedIn. One advantage of producing an audiobook in this manner, one episode at a time, is that listeners can contribute. While I'm not crowdsourcing this effort, as I have strong opinions on the topic, I am happy to engage listeners with equally strong views, so please write in. This audiobook is a natural outgrowth of the New Books Network podcast, where I have been a host of the New Books in Finance channel for several years. There will be some overlap between this series and that channel, particularly involving guests. And I encourage listeners to check out the NBN Network and its many excellent offerings. You can find it at newbooksnetwork.com. I do have to make one cautionary note. By day, I work for an investment firm, Federated Hermes in Pittsburgh, and oversee dividend-oriented portfolios for them. That means that my every step is highly regulated and tracked for compliance reasons. So I will necessarily concentrate here on basic assertions with plenty of historic examples or whiteboard exercises about current circumstances. But I won't be recommending or not recommending individual stocks that may or may not trade today or mention packaged investment products, specific funds, or managed accounts. And of course, there will be no performance claims for said products. That's a no-no in the investment industry. Finally, it goes without saying, and yet must be stated over and over again, that the views expressed here are mine and mine alone. They are not necessarily those of my employer. Nothing that is stated here should be construed as a recommendation to purchase any particular financial product. You are encouraged to seek specific guidance from your financial advisor. Please do so. That's what they are there for. The audiobook is organized as follows. The first chapter will focus on what I consider the most important issue for investors. And it notably has nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with stocks, the market, or returns. Instead, it is about knowing clearly what you want. I call it the battle between truth and clarity. I referenced it earlier in the podcast. It is a lifelong struggle, and it applies to many of the major questions that we're called upon to make during the course of our lives. Answering that big question about what you want, who you are, will go a long way to guiding you on how to approach the lesser, more specific questions of navigating life, including investing in the stock market. The key to choosing is making a choice. It's not the specific choice you make to be a high-octane biotech IPO investor or to limit yourself to leverage private equity ventures or to focus on real estate or pizza delivery franchises or to want maximum total return in all circumstances or to play it safe with gold in the basement or to buy an all-market ETF and never look again. Whatever. Those are all fine choices. The point is that you decide and understand and accept the consequences of your decision. So it is in life, so it is in investing. In the second chapter, we're going to move to the first principles, written here in my script in capital letters, which means I'm supposed to read those words really loudly, with feeling, as Arlo Guthrie might say, if he wrote a dividend investing version of Alice's Restaurant. For those of you of a certain age, you'll probably get the reference. For those of you who are younger and are raising an eyebrow, look up Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant on YouTube at the 16-minute and 50-second mark. Back to first principles. This section will deal with the cardinal, that is, the really important concepts in dividend investing. It will be, I hope, where clarity and a degree of comfort will begin to emerge. Many investors will want to skip this section. Who needs philosophy? Just tell me what to do, they might say. I could not disagree more with that hurry-up approach. The longer I've operated in the stock market, and the longer I've studied the history of investing in investors, the more I'm convinced that the key to success is in defining a framework that is right for you and sticking with it. That's why this introductory, soft section, the first two chapters, are the most important for investors, period. The remaining episodes cover a lot of details and technical issues, but once you have a clearly defined framework, the material in these subsequent chapters will make a lot of sense because they fit within the intellectual framework set out at the beginning. Without that framework, you are, perhaps, adrift, without anchor, dabbling in that, dabbling in this, not knowing what to do, and generally being unhappy about it. Before we can apply the lessons learned in the first two chapters, we have to learn how to keep score, and that's the third chapter. You may be surprised to discover that investing is not like hockey or baseball or any other major sport where the counting system is generally well understood and agreed upon by the participants and fans on the sidelines. No. There are many options to figure out how you are doing in the stock market. This ambiguity is rampant, up to and including on the pages of the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. On the misdirection of investors in those two august platforms, see my recent blog posts from June 14th, 2020 and April 27th, 2020. So in this chapter, we will review how score is kept officially and also review the other ways that you might want to consider measuring your investments. Financial media generally focuses on only one measure, share prices. The industry uses the closely related official measure, total return. They are fine for what they are, but they don't tell you everything. This chapter's material will help you make sure that you are using the right metric for yourself as a dividend investor. It would be great not to have to go over this, but for all the financial education material that is out there, there is an utter lack of clarity around measurement. This chapter is, unfortunately, very necessary. In Chapter 4, we lay out the basics of dividend investing. It follows logically from the philosophical decisions made in the first two chapters. It involves a focus on cash and approaching stock investing as business investing. It emphasizes common sense and, frankly, common knowledge. There are no secrets, no insider information, no special resources. The tools for being a sleep-at-night dividend investor are hiding in plain sight in the early chapters of many investment books, not only my own, but many others. They were worked out in 1906 and 1938 and 1952, and they are not hard to find. It is just a matter of applying diligence and being patient. The investing part is not hard. The personal discipline part is. In chapters 5 through 10, I go over the challenges that one faces when approaching investing in this manner, especially at the present time. The first, chapter 5, addresses the most obvious challenges. I will ask the question that is the underlying premise of this audiobook. What, if anything, has changed as a result of COVID-19? On the surface, a great deal. Underneath, as I will argue, not much. Basic business processes rarely pivot sharply, although the external forms of those same processes can change, and have, as a result of the lockdown. We will go over a few examples that you can decide for yourself. Plus ça change, or not. In the midst of the COVID-19 crisis, the stock market has exhibited exceptionally unusual behavior, with tech and growth stocks zooming and the rest of the market sinking. We'll ask the question, is there a bubble going on here? If so, how is that possible? Why is dividend investing so out of favor? And what does that portend for future returns? The next episode, Chapter 6, will address the ever-popular share buybacks and how cash-based investors might want to think about them after a decade-long bull market fueled by corporate buybacks. Chapter 7 deals with the elephant in the living room, companies without dividends or dividends that are so low that they don't really matter. This is where we will encounter the cashless juggernaut known as the infotech sector, which now dominates the U.S. stock market and makes life hard for cash-based investing. There is a solution, and it does not involve compromising your principles or laying awake at night worrying. Chapter 8 covers the implications of behavioral finance, how investors actually behave as opposed to how we're supposed to behave. Yes, we rarely follow the rules that are set out for us, but the news is not all bad. If you've listened to chapters 1 and 2, you can turn your beliefs and convictions to your advantage. And it does not involve suddenly becoming a perfectly cool, collected, and ever-rational, all-knowing automaton stamped out at the University of Chicago Automaton Manufacturing Plant. I will explain. Chapter 9 reviews the thorny issue of being an individual investor, an individual business owner, in an institutional market dominated by computerized trading programs and ETFs and index funds, not individual investor selections. If the valuations of companies, the prices being paid for them, are not being made by individuals engaged in a similar exercise, it's called price discovery, then does price discovery actually work? This is a big issue and maybe one of the most potent criticisms of the type of old-fashioned investing advocated here. Moreover, during the past few decades, much of the action in funding and growing with successful companies has shifted from the public markets to private equity and pre-IPO investments, which are generally not available to Main Street investors. While these companies generally do not pay dividends, their relative size, that is the huge size of some of these companies, makes it seem that investing for dividends in the public markets means missing out on those opportunities. These are real challenges, and we will discuss how Keep Calm and Carry On investors might want to think about them. The last chapter in this section, Chapter 10, will address what some of you might want to know at the beginning, and that is passive investing. For some of you, that might be the easiest choice, the choice that provides clarity. If so, well, then so. Fare thee well, and if passive, then passive, fare thee well. To butcher the lines of Lord Byron. But I really do hope that if you have listened to the prior chapters, you will come to the opposite conclusion. To me, that is the obvious conclusion. But you can be the judge. When the popular investment media is 100% convinced that the only good investment is a passive investment, you will certainly want to hear this episode. Final chapter, Chapter 11, will focus on some practical matters of implementation, domestic versus international, funds versus separately managed accounts, timing, withholding taxes, taxes in general, diversification, and even costs. As an individual investor, you may have many options to turn your convictions into a practical portfolio. In the subsequent episodes, I hope to take up issues and even challenges raised by listeners, as well as continuing to update investors on what's going on in the dividend world. For now, however, thank you for joining me, and I hope to have you back again for the next episode when the topic on Keep Calm and Carry On Investing will be Clarity versus Truth. In the meantime, please reach out to me via Twitter at @historyinvestor, LinkedIn, or my website, strategicdividendinvestor.com, if you have any questions or issues that you would like me to address.